Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
It gives me great pleasure to introduce my guest to this morning's programme, and it's Bridget Caroline. Hello, Bridget. Good morning. Welcome to Lifeline.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
Ah, not too bad. Sure, can't complain. No one listens. Did I say your second name right there?
Yeah, Carlin.
Carlin. Bridget Carlin. And Bridget, do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what you do in your own words rather than me saying it?
Right. I'm a humanist celebrant. Now, that probably means nothing to anybody, but
yeah.
I met Leslie last Saturday at a wedding I was doing for some friends of hers.
Yeah.
And we were having a chat afterwards. So this is how the interview came up. I do funerals, baby naming ceremonies, and weddings for people who wouldn't have any religion.
Yes, you know, no religious.
Who just want to celebrate these important life things for themselves, and to do it in a very personal and very honest and genuine way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, shall I tell you a wee bit about humanism?
Oh, I'd love to hear a little bit about it.
Right. Well, humanism is a life stance where people would have a great regard and respect for all humanity, whatever class, creed, race or sexuality, you know, people belong to.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what we'd go by, human rights.
Oh, very good. It's a great way to describe it too, yeah.
That really is, you know, what we would stand up for, that, you know, people have a right to freedom and to justice and to the basics, you know, to water, food, housing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what it's about. But we wouldn't acknowledge any kind of a god.
Yeah.
Or we wouldn't subscribe to any kind of religion. And we also believe that what we have here for our lifespan on this earth is it. We wouldn't acknowledge any kind of an afterlife. And that's why it is so very, very important to make the very best of life as we live it today. Just to be awed by how wonderful the world is, our Earth and the greater universe, and just how to some extent how insignificant we are as individuals within this enormous wonderful universe, but also knowing that, you know, without me,
yeah,
I wouldn't know anything about the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world wouldn't exist for me, but also acknowledging that it's the same for every other person.
Yeah, quite and, right.
Yeah, and just being decent and honest and kind and just because it's the best way to live, and because you can sleep at night.
Honesty is the best policy. And, you know,
absolutely.
You know, Bridget, we had a great conversation on Friday, and we were talking about this I forget the exact name of the thing that we were talking about in NASA. It ended up exploding there over the week at Cassini, was it?
Cassini,
yeah.
It's been going for about 15 years, I understand, and investigating Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at all the rings of Saturn.
Yeah.
And it's it's not that it's exploding. It's just carrying on out into the universe. But they've lost contact with it. They won't be getting any more information back from it anymore.
Oh.
But it has been found that, you know, there's probably water, mm-hmm, on Saturn. Where you've got water, you're going to have life. You know, what we're seeing at the moment, all the rings of Saturn, well, that's what Saturn is like at the moment.
Yeah.
It could be different in another 10,000 or, you know, millenniums ahead. We're just seeing the world as it is at this moment, and the world is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's that kind of... I suppose that's the other thing about humanism. It's a very rational life stance. You would want to see evidence for things.
Mm-hmm.
So to some extent, there would be a huge regard for science. And to me, the glory of science is that it does not claim to have the answers. It claims to be looking for the answers. And it would seem that every time it finds an answer, that generates 10 or 100 or 1,000 more questions. And we realise how... We begin to have a notion of how much we do not know.
Mm, there's so much we don't know, really and truly. You know, and this theory now that the world is going to end on Saturday, I think it's ridiculous, to be honest with you, but there's so much hype about it between teenagers. My own son is talking about it all the time, and he's like, "Mom, I'm telling you, it's going to happen." And it's like, it's horrible to think that kids are being exposed to believe in this, because some kids are actually getting upset over it. I don't think that it's going to end, but there's these theories that are behind that, saying if you look at the evidence, the situation of the planets, that the way they are now, it's evidence that it is going to, the world is going to end. What do you think about that?
I think it's pure fabrication. I'm 65 years old. When I was a teenager, we didn't have the internet. You know, when I was a young child, we didn't even have television, but you would get in the streets guys going around with placards,
yeah,
on their backs. The world is going to end. I can't actually calculate the number of times in my lifetime that the world was going to end,
yeah,
on Saturday or Monday or next Thursday, 3 weeks or whatever it is. And when it doesn't happen, nobody's asked to explain why it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Come on, account for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell your son, if the world ends on Saturday, he can have all my wealth.
You know? I've been having this argument with him. I said, "I bet you €20 that it doesn't," but I haven't got €20.
Yeah.
I mean, you have. Bridget, do you know what I found? We did meet at a wedding, and I found that the wedding, it was really, really nice. And I think now in Ireland that there's so many people from different cultures, different countries. People are making up their own mind. We've so much freedom in this country to be who we are. And people are deciding, you know what, a church wedding is not for me. A Catholic, a Protestant wedding, that's not for me. A spiritual wedding, that's not for me either. And for some people out there, they might know that there is a humanist celebrant can marry them, and it's legal in Ireland, you know. And I think we're seeing an awful lot of people changing their minds about religion over the last few years. I mean, I definitely know in my circle of friends it comes up quite a lot.
Yeah, but you see, the real problem, and what I think is the crux of the problem in Ireland, is the schooling system.
Yeah.
At the moment, 97% of our national schools are under the patronage of the Catholic Church. 97% of the population of Ireland does not even claim to be Catholic on the censuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of the people who do put down that they're Catholic, they're cultural Catholics. They were baptized when they were a week or a month old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're not going to church. I was raised a Catholic, And if you missed Mass on Sunday, that was a mortal sin.
Yeah,
you were out.
Ditto.
You know, how many people go to church every Sunday who claim to be Catholics? Mm. They're not Catholics. People are not, as it were, coming out and saying it. We need to take a leaf out of the book of the people who organised the marriage equality thing.
Yeah.
You know, when people actually came out and said that they were lesbian or they were gay or they were transsexual, and suddenly, you know, you find that, well, it's not actually so shocking. And
yeah.
There's an awful lot of, well, you know, the majority of the people in Ireland supported them there a couple of years ago at the referendum. I think that people who do not have religious belief need to come out and say it. I also think it's very insulting to people who do have genuine religious belief that other people are forced to pretend they have it.
Mm-hmm. Having a bit of respect, like as if you have no respect for them.
There's no respect for them.
Yeah.
It makes a joke for the people who you know, honestly and truly believe it. And that is their right to believe it. I mean, this is the one thing that I think the secularism is the only guarantee of religious freedom
mm-hmm.
for people of all religious persuasions and none.
Yeah. Bridget,
and
sorry.
We just need to drag ourselves into the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when you know, Ireland is the only country in the 21st century who has initiated a blasphemy law. Now, that's shameful.
Yeah.
It was done by the last Fianna Fáil government, one of the last things they did before they went out of office. And so now you've got this. So the conversation we're having, you know, I'm having today with you.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to, they may be able to say that I'm contravening the blasphemy law in what I'm saying. Well,
yeah.
If they do, good luck to them.
You probably have loads of people throwing holy water on their radios now.
I'd have confidence that most people in this country would say yes. She has a right to say what she believes, as I have a right to say what I believe.
Yeah, you're right, you do. Everybody has a right, and I think that we need to embrace that more. And I think that it's a great thing, because people who are atheist, when they have a child or want to celebrate something really important, a milestone in their lives, an achievement or wherever it is, you know, want to have a gathering of friends. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to have an MC there saying, oh, you never guess what. But especially for something as legal as being married, to have somebody who's able to stand there and say in a special way and to get to know the couple and then, as well as that, the baby naming ceremonies as well. I mean, it's lovely.
Yes, the namings are.
I was blown away by the ceremony.
Namings are fantastic. And I suppose the thing I would want to say about a humanist naming is that you are not enrolling the child in the humanist association or
yeah.
any organisation. What we say in the naming ceremonies is that everybody has an obligation to love, nurture, support this little baby.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are going to be there at the naming ceremony are people who want to. They obviously, you know, have a relationship with the parents and probably, you know, a relationship with the little child already.
Yeah.
And that's all we're saying, that every child has the right to be given all the information about anything that they inquire about, and that when that child is intellectually and emotionally mature enough, they make up their own mind about what life stance, what religion, what philosophy they want mm-hmm. to follow.
And Bridget, obviously they don't get to have godparents then.
We do. It's quite nice to have other adults. How old's your son, Leslie?
Well, I've got a 19-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Right. So when kids get to be 14, 15, their parents know nothing.
Oh, don't say
their
that. I'm going through that at the moment.
You do nothing right. You won't be able to sit in the chair right. You probably won't be able to sneeze right. And you most certainly won't say anything right.
Yeah.
So it is great if child has another adult who has taken an interest in them through their lives, but who is not their parent,
mm-hmm.
but is someone the parent can trust. And if that relationship has developed since they were babies, it's a wonderful relationship. And that's who might be able to, you know, give the kid advice that the child will be able to take.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I would guess your 14 and probably even your 19-year-old, if you were to advise them to do anything, they would do the very opposite.
Yeah, but you know something, the weirdest thing ever, God, this is going back about 10 years. My 19-year-old would have been only 11. And I swear, this is no word of a lie. He actually declared to me, "Mom, I am an atheist. I don't believe in God. It's bullshit." I'm like, "Hang on a second now. Don't be saying that. Your granny will have murder." And he's like, "Mom, I don't believe it." And if my mom is listening, she's probably going to kill me when I leave this building. But how and ever, listen, all my aunties and uncles, will you just leave me alone? I would be stoned on the steps. Or there'd be a stoning rod, or I won't be stoned. But no, he did. He came to me. He just made up his own mind. He says, "Mom, you know, it'll be talking in school about religion and so forth. Not." He said, "I don't believe those tales." And I'm like, you know, Adam and Eve, because his brain was actually scientific, if you like. You know, he was more in tuned into that side of life. And I was shocked that he just blurted it out. And a couple of my friends, natural fact, their kids were the same now. The youngest lad doesn't mention it at all. Like, you know, he just plods along with life. But the other chap, the eldest one, he would have been only around 10-ish.
And well, if you think about it, it's incredibly illogical.
Mm-hmm.
For a start, you mentioned Adam and Eve there.
Yeah.
Well, the two things that I would say with Adam and Eve, first of all, you've got a serious case of incest.
Well, yeah.
Adam and Eve had two sons. That means if we were all going to descend from them, one of them must have been having sex with their mother. Dodgy.
Oh,
we've also got
dodgy.
Huge violence, haven't we? Because you had the four of them, Adam and Eve and the two sons. So we've got a 25% murder rate in humanity at that stage because one of the boys killed the other.
That's right, yeah. Oh, it's all coming back to me now.
Here we have a religion that's based on incest and violence. I don't like it.
Well, come here. We won't go into the nitty gritty now, Bridget, because some people. I think that a lot of people find comfort in religion, and you know, for spiritual people too, people who follow the angels, they find comfort in that too, and they like to think it's very, very hard for people to believe that there's nothing after death. It's hard to accept that. So people choose not to accept it. And then we have people that are spiritualists going around, and we all these different various groups of people, and they are claiming to contact the afterlife and so forth. And they're actually marrying people as well. And so I suppose it's all over the spectrum, really. Like, and I suppose in a way that's a good sign, because it goes to show that there is so much freedom in Ireland, and thankfully we can have a choice.
We can have a choice.
Yeah.
But the problem is that with our schooling system,
don't
have a choice. They go in, and you know, they're confronted with the, you know, religious iconography. You know, small children are confronted with the image of a man being crucified, being, you know, tortured and murdered in the most vicious, vicious way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you flogged so with barbs, so the muscles are lifted out of your body, then forced to carry this huge crossbeam, then being nailed, not through the hands, your hands wouldn't hold you, they just rip apart, through your wrist. You know.
I know.
Nailed through your wrist, so that every time you attempted to breathe, you were pulling on your back and you know, and these nails in your wrists. And what does occur to me is that, I can remember doing the Stations of the Cross and really being moved by it. You know, it was so vicious, it was so awful. But then thinking, and again, I'd have been older than your 10-year-old, I'd have been 15 or 16, and I thought, And nobody is saying that it is wrong to crucify not only Jesus Christ, but the two thieves. We are supposed to be outraged that Christ was
crucified
alongside thieves.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was outraged that three men who had really not done that much wrong were being tortured in such a vicious way.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of stories, and then there's lots of, and then it's gas because other religions claim, like for example, I think in a part of Islam they claim that Jesus was a prophet, and they believe that that crucifixion happened.
Oh yes, yes.
You know, so
I suppose this is it. You know, the Islam, Judaism, and Christianity all come from the same. Core belief in the Abrahamic, you know, the God of Abraham,
mm-hmm.
who really was a most, you know, this God, he really is a most unpleasant creature, going round smiting people right, left and centre, famines and floods that he stands over, that he orchestrates, and he's such a needy God, because, you know, when Moses came down from the mountain, the first thing was not, you know, look after each other or mind the earth. It was adore me.
Yeah.
Me first. Me first. I mean, I suppose
I'm having flashbacks here.
Not a pleasant fella at all, this God.
No. I'm having flashbacks here at primary school of lessons that I would have learned. But, we could talk about religion for, you know, a lot, and you just I suppose there's some parts of religion that are good, because if it's doing it somebody good in their life, then let them at it, and that's so. But on the other side of things, you have people that are really, really religious. They have to accept people that don't believe in anything, and they have to give these people freedom to what they want. And thankfully, yourself and the people that you work with are there for these people that decide, you know what, this Catholic wedding is not for me, or this blessing in this way, this is not for me. I don't believe in any of that stuff. And yourselves, you can come in, you get to know the people that you're doing the ceremony for, make it really, really special and make it something to remember. And the gathering that I was at on Friday was a wedding, and you tied the groom to somebody, and then you tied the mother to somebody else, and it was just for luck. Was that correct?
Well, it was more. We had the couple, the bride mm-hmm. and groom, and they made certain vows, and at each vow, I think first her mother, then his mother, then her father, then his father, just wrapped ribbons.
Oh yeah, hand binding ceremony
around their hands, and then tied them together, just to say that, you know, as their hands were bound together, so, you know, it was symbolic of their lives being bound together.
Yeah, it was lovely though. But it's just
these little human beings need rituals,
mm-hmm.
and celebrations for these big events in our lives.
That's a great way to describe it, Bridget.
Important.
It is. That's a fantastic way to describe it. They do need rituals and ways to survive and celebrations. And it's, you know, it's lovely to, you know, think that for other people that there are all terms. Now, we haven't got long left. I just want to ask you, Bridget, since the marriage referendum, are you very busy doing like celebrations?
We are very busy. In mm-hmm. fact, we've taken on this year. We've taken on 8 new celebrants. 8 people have been accredited.
The very last good.
Two just a couple of days ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, if people are looking for people to, you know, for humanists to conduct their baby namings, their weddings, or their funerals, or indeed alternative rite of passage ceremonies as an alternative to the communions and the confirmations,
mm-hmm.
we offer them as well.
Oh, very
we
nice.
Also have there's regular meetings throughout the country, various times. We have groups. We have 2 or 3 groups in Dublin now. There's one in Kilkenny. There's a couple in Cork, they're in Westport, they're in Galway, they're in Limerick. I'm just trying to think where else. But anyway, all the information's on our website. The other thing I just wanted to talk about is funerals. I really haven't said much
yeah.
about funerals.
That was the thing I wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people who don't believe in religion are really, you know, when it comes to it, they have no option but to go to a church and have, well, what you could only call this pretense. And I think it's very important that when people die, funerals are really for the bereaved, and that the person who's died has a chance to leave an honest, thoughtful message to the bereaved that is actually about them and not just something that's formulaic.
Yeah.
And that doesn't reflect that person's character and personality.
And that's a really, really important one as well. The funerals is the thing that hits me, because I'd be kind of having this conversation with my sons and they'd be slagging me, you know, "Mom, you're not getting cremated and all, haven't I?" But just real quick before we let you go, because we are coming up to 11 o'clock and I have to go, but there's one quick question that I wanted to ask you. Do you remember we were talking about the... which text in there, how do you become a humanist? And then the other thing that I want to ask you is, do you remember we were talking about the funerals and if you, in Wicklow on the border, is it the border of Carlow and Wicklow?
Oh, yes. No, it's Waterford. It's there is what's it called?
And you can...
Lily, can I send you in the information?
Yeah, we'll...
And you could maybe announce it another time. There is a woodland graveyard,
yeah.
And it's somewhere... I wasn't actually at it. It's at on the border of Waterford and Wicklow. I think it's actually in County Waterford.
Yeah.
But...
Your ashes go there and...
You're buried there in an environmentally friendly coffin, maybe a cardboard or a wicker coffin or something, and there is a tree planted.
I think that's on
your grave site.
Yeah, I think that's lovely.
But I'd have to send you in the information about it, and maybe you could announce it.
Yeah, and then the last thing, how do you become a humanist, Bridget?
A celebrant, rather.
Well, first of all, you would need to have been an active member of the Humanist Association for a couple of years. If anyone wants that information, it's all on our website, which is www.humanism.ie.
Humanism.ie. Okay, brilliant. Bridget, thanks ever so much for talking to us on Lifeline this morning. And you know what? Maybe we can have a little chat about that graveyard and the coffins we were talking about, because that's a really, really interesting subject.
Thank you for the information.
Lovely.
The guy who owns it, I know he's actually based in Donegal, but you'd probably get more information chatting to him. His name's Colin something, but I'll email you the information, Leslie. And yes.
Excellent. Okay, Bridget, right. Thanks a million for joining us on Lifeline this morning, and the best of luck in the future. Thanks a million.
An absolute pleasure, and I wish the best to you and all your listeners.
Thanks very much. Take care, Bridget. Bye.
Bye now. Bye bye.